and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnonphoto.com, and this is my little audio diary about my journeys through the fantastic world of photography. Well, I hope everybody's had a great week. It's Monday morning, I'm driving to work. There might be even more road noise than normal because what I'm actually doing this week, I'm actually recording the podcast while I'm driving down the motorway. It's half-term holidays here in the UK at the moment, in the south of England, which means that the kids are all off, which always means there's a lot less traffic in the on the roads, even at 7:30 in the morning, when I'm driving to work. So I thought it'd be a little bit safer too, because it's easier. Once you're on the motorway, you can just sort of put your foot down and drive straight. I don't have to worry about stopping and starting and traffic lights and things like that. First though, a quick mention from our sponsors, GoToMeeting, at GoToMeeting.com. They started off again last week, and we're going to have them on for another couple of weeks. Really good news for the podcast, and hope you can support it. Now, what is GoToMeeting? Well, GoToMeeting is a brilliant tool that makes your work life easier and simpler and more productive, because you can do conference calls in a way where you can involve everybody in the meeting. You know, when you're normally on a conference call and you're kind of chatting away to your colleagues in the same room while you've got the phone on mute, or maybe you're looking at the newspaper, or you're flicking through the internet, or you're starting to do your paperwork in the morning while your boss or whoever it is on the other end of the phone is just nattering away, and occasionally you might take the odd note just to make sure that if he asks you some questions, so you can supply them with the right answers. Well, GoToMeeting addresses that by taking the information that he has on his laptop or his PC and displaying it on your laptop, your PC, in front of you. So as he's talking about sales figures or targets or a new design for a new product, you can actually see it on your computer in front of you while you're listening to him. So everything's a lot more interesting and, importantly, a lot more productive. And for me, the bit that I like is the fact that it makes conference calls and telephone meetings a lot faster, and they're over a lot quicker. Let alone the fact that you don't have to bother driving hundreds of miles around the country spending a fortune on petrol in order to get to these meetings that don't last very long. I know I had to go to one the other day where I drove, it's short in terms of American distances, but in British miles I had to drive about 75 miles to this meeting. The meeting was only went on 45 minutes. If we'd done it online with GoToMeeting, it would have been, well, we would have saved a fortune in petrol. Well, not a fortune, but, you know, a fair amount in petrol, and also saved a lot of travelling time. The travelling time for that was probably about three and a half hours altogether. But you don't have to take my word for it. You can try it for free. Head on over to GoToMeeting.com, press the Try It Free button, and there's a little promo code you can enter called Podcast, and that just makes sure that SCL and also the other podcasts over at TechPodcast.com get credit for doing the advertising for GoToMeeting. So there we go. Go over to GoToMeeting.com, hit the Try It Free, and that will give you 30 days to play around with the software. Enter the code Podcast and you'll be up and running and do conference calls that are going to be more productive, more efficient, and most importantly, they'll get you out of work quicker so you can get out shooting. Now, yes, so the title of this podcast this week is Leica at the Lotte. So, yeah, like, those of you who are familiar with the word Leica will probably be going, oh, what, Leica? Rob's got a Leica? And I can say, yes, I have. I've now got a Leica. In fact, it's sitting on the car seat right next to me. But it's not one of those incredibly expensive rangefinder ones. No, this model is a little sort of, plastic body point and shoot, to be honest. And first, a little background. So what are Leica cameras? Why are Leica so famous? It's because they've Leica company was the first camera company to create very compact, small film cameras that use 35mm film. Up until this point, in the early, I think it's the 1920s, again, I'll put a link to Wikipedia about the history of Leica in the show notes over at robnonphoto.com, so you can investigate more of it to to get the real issue with the real names and the real days. But basically, up until Leica came along and created these small, compact 35mm film cameras, the camera tends to be a bit bigger, a bit bulkier. You know, they used roll film, or they used plate film, and you couldn't really fit them in your pocket, or if you could, they were like the folding bellows type, like the Kodak number one pocket camera that I was playing with a few months ago. You know, where you have to open it up and the bellows come out, and it's a laborious process. Well, I think his name was Kurtz over at the Leica company. I thought, well, no, we can do better than this. And what he actually did was he took movie film on celluloid and decided to use that in a camera as well. Made the negative a different size, and then came up with that small, compact size sort of camera that really is the forerunner of all of the compact cameras we see today. You know, you could argue even the digital ones, because the idea is to produce a really small camera that you can fit in your pocket, that has beautiful optics, that you can just whip out, take lots of shots of, and then stick back in your pocket that way. They're also well known for their quality of the build of the cameras and the quality of the optics, and that's why lots of people still pay thousands and thousands of pounds for Leica film cameras and digital cameras today, because they are reputed to have some of the best optics in the business. So, fair to say, you know, you would put Leica in the same sort of vein as names like, let me think, so there would be people like Leica or Hasselblad, you know, that the high-end cameras that cost a fortune, and that, you know, I've never be able to afford one unless I won the lottery. excuse me, I've still got a little bit of this cough. But there I was, yesterday morning, out and about with Suzanne at the car boot sales. We'd already done Bridgemary car boot sale, nothing gone there. Because what happened was, I actually put the kiss of death on actually buying anything, I thought, because I've managed to mislay one of my Olympus Trip 35 cameras. I've got several of them. I've got a few that don't work and a couple that do. But one that had some film in, when we were out in Portsmouth a couple of weeks ago, I remember using it, and then I can't find it now, so it's probably sitting somewhere around the house in a drawer or something. But I can't find it, so I was like, oh. So I really wanted to buy another Olympus Trip 35 or another compact camera like the Stylus Epic. You know, a nice little 35mm film camera, just one that I can just have in my pocket all the time. And I also thought, oh, it's a nice day. I tell you what, if I buy one, I'm going to put some film in it, and I'm going to start shooting with it straight away. So I popped a roll of film in my pocket as well. But and what that meant was I didn't see a single camera worth buying at either the Bridgemary car boot sale or the one at Titchfield. Lots of like cheap, crappy little plastic cameras that I tend to avoid, not because they don't take good photographs, but often these cameras require special batteries that are still readily available today, but they're quite expensive. You know, if you want to pick up a 123 battery to buy it from a shop, you know, they're a good few quid. And they kind of, you know, it kind of puts me off when they go flat. You know, I like cameras that use AAs, or like the Olympus Trip doesn't use any batteries at all. So anyway, so I was looking around. There wasn't really anything on display. There was the odd assortment of film SLRs. You always see the odd Fractica or Fujica, but you know, I've got plenty of those. I don't really want those. What I'm really looking out for a Minolta. Minolta's really Minolta body, so I've got a spare for my SRT-101. Didn't really hold out much hope, but there's a new, well, it's not a new car boot sale, it's been around for a while, but there's a new to us car boot sale that we go to now, which isn't the one at Burzard, and it's a little bit closer to Southampton, and it's pretty big, it's a huge car boot sale. So we're wandering around, and by now, I mean, you've got to remember, we're getting these car boot sales at about 7 o'clock in the morning, and by this time it was about 10 past 10, so you're pretty tired. It was a hot morning, we've been walking around for a long time. And there was this box on this stall, and it was a white box, and it said Leica on it, and Leica has this like little red kind of trademark, like a circle with the squiggly writing inside. Leica, Leica, what? So I opened it up, and inside was a plastic camera, and it was that off gold colour that lots of cheap crappy plastic cameras, forgive me when I say crappy, don't mean, well, lots of budget cameras from like the 80s and 90s, film cameras, they're colour, lots of them are like this sort of goldy silver colour, A fur, but it said Leica on it. A fur, that's a bit odd. Leica don't make plastic cameras. Leica make expensive metal body cameras that cost thousands of pounds. This must be some sort of copy, or it must be some sort of, you know, knockoff or something like that. So I put it back in the box and sort of wandered off. And then I went on my phone, because I had my phone with me, and I started hunting for like Leica plastic cameras on Google to see what you could see, but there wasn't anything there. But it was kind of bugging me at the back of my mind, so I thought, oh, I'll go back and have another, went back and had another look. And I sort of did the old thing with the guy who was on the store. I said, oh, you know, what's this like? And he was like, oh, it's a really great camera. He said it cost me a lot of money. He said it cost about £150 when he bought it new, quite a few years ago, and took great pictures. And I get out of the box, it still worked, the battery was firing up and everything. And I was having a good look at it, but, you know, I was thinking, this can't be, you know, like he didn't make cameras like this. I said, well, how much do you want for it? He said, £15. So I said, oh, will you take a 10? He said, no, it's really got to be 15. Because it's got, like, the little leather case with it as well. And, you know, the box is pristine and everything. The camera's got a few marks in it, but as you'd expect from a camera that had been used. So I thought, oh, well, I didn't really want to spend 15 quid on another film camera. So I kind of walked away, caught up with Suzanne, and she said, what have you been looking at? I said, well, I've been looking at this camera and it's a Leica, but I'm not sure. She said, just go and buy it, because if you don't buy it, you'll regret it later. So anyway, I went back and I gave my 15 quid and took it away. Came home, did a little bit of research on the web, and Leica did indeed, in the, I think it was the late 90s, produce these plastic-bodied glass lens, point-and-shoots, fully automatic, and the one I've got is the Z2X. And they were quite expensive to buy when they were new. You know, you could either buy one of these things, or you could buy pretty much a fully kitted out SLR. So I thought, great. Took a few test shots, you know, with no film in it, and it doesn't sound the best. It sounds a bit rough, to be honest, when it, but lots of these cheap point-and-shoots do, because of the way they work. So I thought, right, well, I've got to test it. So I checked a roll of my Jessop's expired film in it, from the first batch that I've been using, that's all scratched. I went out and shot a load of pictures with that. And I also shot a roll on the, I finally opened up that second tin of expired Jessop's film I've got and put it in the bulk loader. And I shot a second roll on that stuff. Went out, took it all. The camera has the, you know, it's got a 2x zoom, it goes from 35mm to 70mm, but it's quite a bulky camera for a compact, you know, it's not a super svelte one like the Olympus Mew 2 or the Stylus Epic, but it's probably, I think it's about the equivalent of an Olympus Trip, but without the sort of lens on the front. And the problem you get with these autofocus compacts is the way that they work is you push about a finger halfway down the shutter button, as you'd expect, and what the camera then does is it takes the exposure and measures the distance to the subject for its focusing, but it doesn't focus the lens at that point. What happens is when you actually press the shutter all the way down, that's when the lens adjusts to do the focus when it takes the shutter. And so there is the usual, there's a little bit of shutter lag you get with a little bit of sort of delay, which, you know, it's alright, but you kind of got to get used to it, and it adds a bit of randomness to your photos if you're taking pictures of moving objects. But it seemed alright, the viewfinder's nice and bright, you've got loads of controls over things like the flash, you do red eye, force flash, light exposure, it'll do bulb mode, and all this sort of stuff. There is a manual on the web that I'll look through, but you know, for me, the reason to have a pointed shoot is have it in my pocket, fully automatic, and just snap away. Took the photos home, to the film home, sorry, developed it in my Patterson tanks, as ever. And I also, because it uses DX encoded film, which means it reads the film speed from the canister, and I put this film into my old Jessup film, it's 200 speed canisters, it meant that I was pushing the film, so I was shooting at 200 when it was really 100, so when I developed it, I had to leave it in the developer for a little bit longer. Instead of leaving it in for 5 minutes, well, 5.5 minutes, I left it in for, I think, 7 minutes. The next came out, the second roll, the new Jessup stuff from the tin I've just opened, is really fogged. Normally you can tell when a film has been badly fogged, because when you develop it on a good film, that the edges, the rebate with all the sprocket holes in, will be clear. But on this stuff, it's all black, which means that lots of light has got to it. But there were images in the middle, so I stuck them in the scanner and scanned them down. And they come out, so it looks like the exposure meter is working fine and the focus is working fine. So what I'm going to do now is put some colour film through it, just Fuji C200 probably, and take some shots with that. Develop it and scan it at work. So the next one, the scans will be really, really clean to get a better idea. Because the problem with, I mean, I love the look of the expired Jessop's film, but there's lots of, I think there's lots of bits on it. Because I clean it, you know, when I develop it, I run my fingers down it and I have some tongs that I run down it as well, and then I blow it off before I scan it. But it's got, I think the film itself is physically starting to fall to pieces. So there's lots of bits on it. But what it did show me, actually, the second roll of Jessop's film that I've done, and I figured this out actually while I was finishing off the first roll of bulk film, is that the first roll of film was scratched, not because of prior use, but I scratched it when I was pulling it out of the bulk loader. Because what I didn't realise was the bulk loader, you have to, there's like this dial on it that you spin to open and close what is called the gate. And what I was doing, the gate was closed all the time. So as I was turning the handle to wind the film on into my little film cassette, I was pulling it through the gate and scratching it. Because it's new Jessop's film, although it's fogged and speckly and all this sort of stuff, it actually hasn't got the scratches running down it, because I figured out how to use the Watson bulk loader correctly. So yeah, so a bit gutted about that. So now I've got all these black and white films to use up. I think I've got about 8 rolls of the original Jessop scratch stuff, and then if I spool all this new stuff off, I'll probably have about 15, 17 rolls of the fogged black and white film to get through. But you know, I scanned it using the V500 scanner, which I've still got from Epson, and it came out. I'll put some pictures in the photos, the photo notes over at robnumphoto.com. And they're on my Flickr stream now. So I'm really looking forward to playing around with this little Leica. Maybe it will become my point and shoot. We'll have to see. But, you know, keep your eyes open. You can even pick up at car boot sales and thrift stores and charity shops Leicas. And this one's the Z2X. So if you see that little round icon with the squiggly Leica writing in the middle, if it's a couple of quid, snap it up, because you'll end up with a right bargain. Well, that's it really from me for this week. Thanks for all the questions I've been getting through the emails. I will get round to them as I come along. Thanks everybody for putting their pictures into the robnumphoto.com Flickr group. Remember, it's free to join Flickr, free to join the group, and you can put your photos in there and people will comment on them. Thanks everybody for commenting on the blog over at robnumphoto.com. But most of all, thanks to you for downloading and listening to the podcast. My name's Rob from, you guessed it, robnumphoto.com. And hopefully, pretty soon, I'll see you on Flickr.